This just reminds me, I used to be a substitute teacher, and I feel like you're all in some kind of special timeout. Like, all right, everyone needs to spread out your chairs. You're talking too much. So fear not. You'll all be able to gather up here towards the end. So my task tonight is to tell you about our theme, Someday Training. But I thought that just to recap a little bit of where we've come from will help us to see where we landed this year. So 3 years ago, we became moms of IBC, and we talked about being equipped with the good stuff, and we looked at the 2 Timothy verse that reminded us the importance of God's word, the instruction we get for it, and how we should love God's word. The next year, we did first love, and we looked at the Matthew verse that reminds us of the greatest commandments to love the Lord and to love others. And then last year, you all looked had the theme of stirring things up, and you were called to encourage each other. And so, ladies, if you have been in moms the last 3 years, you have been well equipped. But this year, we're taking more of a future look. And so I'm going to quickly tell you kind of where we came from. So, the year is starting to hum, and Stephanie and I are talking, going, theme for this year. And so I have a daughter who got married last summer, and in January, she found out that she was expecting. And all of a sudden, I thought, wow, my baby is having a baby. How did I end up being the mother of a married woman who is now has my first grandchild? And I just was blown away by the thought of where I am now, 31 years later. And then I remembered Bev Atkinson shared this really neat poem last fall. She shared it with her daughter, who's a mother of four little ones. And the moment I read this poem, I went, oh my gosh, I love this because it is so true. And you have a teeny tiny copy of it on your chairs. And anyway, I just kind of had that tucked away. I loved it. But if you look at the poem and you see what the theme is, I just wanted to tell you, all of your mentor moms are in the someday right now. This view of the caboose behind me, that's our viewpoint. So I have this poem bouncing around in my head, and we're trying to think of the theme, and then I bump into the verse in Proverbs. And here's what I concluded. You are not training up babies and toddlers or children. You are training up future adults. Hopefully, prayerfully, you're training up grounded, mature, believing adults who will not depart from all the training that you're going to give them. So this theme, Someday Training, with our verse, and then Stephanie's wonderful write-up and explanation of it, came to be. Yes, I realize that there's a little bit of a mixed metaphor in the whole idea of training and trains, but I think if you stick with me, you'll find out that the train really does work well for us. So first, we're going to look a little bit at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is often quoted and often misquoted. But one thing I learned in my Bible study last year is that the book of Proverbs is not a book of promises and guarantees. They are wise principles from Solomon. I know people who have had terrible, ungodly being brought up by parents who were ungodly, and yet God has redeemed them. And I know people who have been raised by faithful believers and who have walked away completely from what they've been taught. Solomon himself had King David as a father, and he got way off the path. But thankfully, we could read in Ecclesiastes to see that he did come back to the wise principles that he taught everybody. God has given all of us free will, and he is the one who seeks and saves the lost. He is sovereign over each life and each track. So that being said, I found out some interesting things about Proverbs 22:6. There's one viewpoint that shows it as a warning. Raise up a child the way he'll go, and his habits and his lifestyles will last until he's an adult. It's really more about allowing your children to go their own way, driving their own train. Just a few verses later, we find that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, and the companion of fools will suffer harm. It leads itself to a warning to parents about letting your adolescents and your children grow up without much guidance. The big difference is the word should. It's added in the English translation, and that changes the nature of the verse completely. This viewpoint says that that children need training, and as parents, it's our responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go, direct them on the right path, the path of wisdom and life, in contrast to the way of folly and destruction that we hear so much about in Psalms. It's clear that we have a responsibility as parents to train, which means to initiate, to instruct, to educate our children in what matters to God. It is a given as Christ-following parents that we want to teach and lead our children by example, to be moral and spiritual directors of our children. It is the commands of God spoken about in Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. These commandments I give you today. These commandments I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you get up. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul reminds people to be imitators of God as beloved children, and we become the main instructors and role models to our children. But even in this way he should go, there's again a slight nuance in the verse. It's the way he or she should go. It means taking into account your child's personality, their inclinations, and their capacity. Okay, you tell me, moms of multiples, is it a cut and paste for each child? Do you teach and train each child exactly the same? I'm a mother of an only child. I had one shot at it. But I know you don't instruct a 3-year-old the same way you do an 8-year-old, the same way you do a 14-year-old. So you have to become an observer of your own child. The what is universal. The how is dependent on your child. So how do we take all of this and get started on the track that God has sovereignly laid out for us and our children? Here is where our train comes in beautifully. Not pushing the metaphor too far. The end goal for all of you as parents is that view of the caboose. We are handed this sweet newborn, and their training begins. God has built the track already for them, and we start out driving their train. The hope is, as we teach them each connecting car of their train, we are working our way to the back of the train, and they will become the engineers of their own ride. The last thing we do as parents of adults is step off the back and watch them go forward, following God's path on their own. So we're going to look a little bit at the what's. If you're not convinced that habits and teaching are real, that you're impressing on your children, how many people did not brush their teeth today? So that is a habit and something your parents taught you as a little tiny child that we still do today. And so everything that we teach our children isn't going to stick, but a lot is. And so I think it's important that I'm going to give you my list, but there's a list for your own family. That's something that you and your husband need to talk about and pray about and kind of flesh out for yourself. But I have 7 cars on my train that I'm going to tell you about tonight. Sorry. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Okay, so you ready to ride the train? Woo-hoo, all aboard. Car number 1, obey and submit. Obedience seems to be the first order of training for us as parents. No, no, says mommy, of every baby that learns to crawl or stand. Obedience to God is both a commandment and a great joy. This begins by learning to obey mom and dad. There is a lot of repetition. There is a lot of consistency on our parts. There may be a lot of tears on their part. But see to it that they are taught to obey. No questioning, reasoning, or disputing, or delaying. The consequences to the character of your child who is not taught obedience is self-will, pride, and future disobedience. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Now, this is not one of Jessica's favorite verses as a child, but I've always told her that everyone obeys. Children obey their parents. Daddy obeys his boss. We all obey the government and the police. Jesus obeyed his earthly parents, and he most definitely obeyed God, even to the point of going to the cross. We are all called to obey God, and Jesus knew this more than anyone. What is his word on obedience? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. There are so many future lessons that hinge on obedience, so let's get that done first. Okay, next is piety and holy living. I want to say that training and teaching begins by teaching the gospel. We want to tell of God's love, his forgiveness, his righteousness, and this teaching goes straight to the heart of your child. We're not trying to get just good actions, but we want their hearts to be changed. And only God can change a heart, but we can definitely point it in the right direction. We want to teach them to love God and his word. This is an area where our personal example is not always taught, but most likely caught. We want to be lovers of God and attentive to our own personal holiness. We lead by example, so let your children see you in God's word. Read the scriptures to them and together with them. Memorize scripture. This helps build the knowledge of God's word. And then that implanted word becomes something you can remind your children about when the situation arises. This teaches your children that these are living and active words to be followed and obeyed. Praying with your children and for your children, teaching them to bring their cares and their joys to the Lord in prayer. How about the good habit of not neglecting the gathering together in worship? Having an attitude on Sundays that we get to go to church, not we have to go to church. There's a privilege of going to the house of God, and remind them that wherever the Lord's people are gathered together, that Jesus is present in a very special manner. The importance of hearing God's word preached and bringing your worship and your tithes is an important lesson for them to learn. If you want college students who go to church on their own, they need to get into the habit of coming to church with you now. Believe me, I can sing all the praises of Sunday school for children, but if you had to choose between one or the other, coming to worship is most important. And if you want to know more about my thoughts on that, you can go to the Kids Station parent page on Facebook, because I had a whole little goodbye comments about that. Holiness is the pursuit of a biblical worldview. When the world and the scripture are in opposition with each other, this is an opportunity to talk to your kids about God's perspective, your Christian worldview perspective. Let this verse in Deuteronomy be the natural daily way of talking about God and the Bible, demonstrating to children that God is really your very best friend and his word is your most favorite book. Car number three, courteous speech. Let your speech always be gracious. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." Proverbs tells us, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." Those are all wonderful biblical concepts, but really I had just good old plain old-fashioned manners in mind. Teaching your children to be polite to others shows kindness and respect. Thank you. Please should be required of even toddlers. How about may I have something instead of I want a snack? Teaching your children to say excuse me or pardon me when they don't hear you instead of huh, what? Coming into a room instead of yelling from another room. Being patient and not interrupting when mom is talking to someone in person or on the phone. And brothers and sisters should show courtesy to each other. When you slam into somebody, you should say I'm sorry. When you need to get by, say, excuse me. Again, these are kind of old-fashioned mannerly things, but they make a big difference between becoming a rude and impolite teenager or adult or a person who is polite that gains respect from others. He is pleasant to be around, and his ways are gentle, and the law of kindness is in his heart. Card number four, respect people and property. Now, this one really comes to mind when I look at all the people who are being featured on the news these days. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. 1 Peter 2:17. Reverence for God's gift of being made in his image and for the possession he supplies us and our neighbors are important attitudes that children also need to learn. It starts with honor and respect for your parents and elders. The respect should be extended to siblings next. This family love and respect gives children an appreciation for the human life God created. Never allowing bickering or loud arguing to go unchecked between your children. Children must never hit or scratch or bite. Teach your kids what is good and right for each other. Now, granted, I know every kid does this. My child did this. But the idea is that we're trying to teach some of this stuff out of them. Teach your kids not to grab toys from others. And when they do, they have to return them without a tantrum and with an apology. Children should be taught to appreciate and care for their belongings and the belongings of others. Even a toddler can be taught to care for their toys, to play nice with them, and to tidy up when they're done. Teach your kids to respect your home and your furnishings. This teaches an appreciation of God's gifts and respect for the hours of hard work that mom or dad have done to provide those things. Moms, do you respect the lives and property of others? Then teach your children not to touch something that doesn't belong to them and to care for the gifts that have been given to them and to be respectful of others. Car number 5, self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. I believe it's important to teach children to be patient. And I know, I've worked with 2 and 3-year-olds. It doesn't come naturally for them. But a little bit goes a long way. And I don't know how many of you might have done, have you seen the marshmallow test where you put one marshmallow in front of your child and ask them to wait 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and you give them a whole bunch more? That'll give you a good test on how good your children are with self-control. But it starts again at home, precept on precept. Focus on the Family says this about self-control. To put it into everyday terms, self-control is your child's ability to stop and think before acting. This, of course, gives your children a much better chance of making a good choice in a given situation. Self-control is the ability to remain goal-oriented in the face of temptation to stray off the course. The book of Proverbs encourages us to seek wisdom and understanding and to be intentional in our behavior. Lazy hands make a poor man, but diligent hands bring wealth. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. All the good Proverbs. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And again, Focus on the Family had 5 keys to nurturing self-control. And they suggest that you foster good habits, encourage responsibility, enforce limits, hit the pause button and stop and think, and encourage delayed gratification. And make sure when you see your children exercising self-control that you tell them that you see it and that you're proud of them. Because even as adults, again, this is everyone obeys, everyone needs self-control, and we all know it's a lifelong lesson, even as moms. Car number 6, work ethic and responsibilities. Much along the lines of self-control, we want children that are not afraid of hard work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if anyone is not willing to work, then they may not eat. That would be an interesting thing to enforce tomorrow. From Proverbs, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatever you do, work heartily as to the Lord and not for men. And again, Proverbs speaks often about the downfall of the sluggard. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes reminds us that toil is a gift from God. Teaching your toddler to be a helper is a wonderful start. A simple task of emptying waste baskets and putting away toys or dusting can be done and taught even to the very young. In our house, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I reminded Jessica how hard Daddy worked. And so we always tried to work hard to keep the house nice for Dad and to be a helper to him whenever we could. A child should know that he is first pleasing God when he does a task assigned without complaining. A willing heart is key here. The task may not be done to mommy's standard, but never discourage them from offering to help or praising them when they do. Learning to be a good steward of their time and possessions and being a servant of others is part of the heart character. A chore chart is a great practical tool for teaching responsibilities, even brushing your teeth, helping cleaning up, whatever you may deem. Letting your child know how much you appreciate their help also teaches them to observe service in others and to be grateful for helpers out there in the world. And remember too that you are being observed. Do you complain about doing the laundry or cooking dinner or doing yard work? So we need to lead by example. And trust me, after I see the people in Uganda, the women who wash all the laundry by hand, hang it on the line, and then they iron it with an iron that has to be heated on a coal stove, I think our laundry is nothing to complain about. Being thankful for work the Lord has given you and teaching your children to joyfully take on the tasks assigned to them, each school, even schoolwork, which is really their very first full-time job. And then lastly on my list is honesty. Truth seems to be less and less common in this modern world. The whole truth and nothing but the truth is a rare gift that many would do well to learn. Think how much exaggeration and additions there are to simple stories. How many things are left out and how much evading or denying or justifying there is. God is spoken of in the Old Testament as the God of truth, and Satan is the father of lies. As we are teaching our children God's word, they will learn that lying is a sin that needs to be confessed. And certainly we'll be teaching them that God's absolute forgiveness is there for them when they repent. Pray that your children's sin will always find them out, no matter what it is. Press upon your children that less than the truth is a lie, that evasion and excuse-making and being sneaky and exaggerating are all halfway houses to the house of lies. Never assume that your child is lying without proof, especially when other children are involved. You have to be a detective and get down to what really happened. But they need to know that you trust them, and that is a wage that is earned. You need to know that you can always trust your child. I can remember when Jessica was in seventh grade and we were waiting for her report card to come, and it was supposed to come in the mail and it never showed up. And so I kept asking her if she knew anything about it. Maybe you should ask at the office. Okay, Mom, I will. And a little over a week goes by, and one day I'm tidying up in Jess's room and I find her report card. It wasn't a great one. And I taped it to her bedroom door just so she knew I know what's going on. And it was a really hard lesson for both of us, because up until then, I could always trust my child. And I tried to explain to her, I will always have your back, but I need to know that you are telling me the truth. And she was a seventh grader, about to become a teenager, about to be driving a car. And I told her she had to rebuild the wall of trust back, because it had been lost. So, and I also love this idea of a family trust. I saw a post on Instagram that a guy was talking about how he loved that he could always come to his mother with anything. He could tell her anything. And he said, the reason I always felt comfortable telling her was the way she reacted to it. When I told her about some questionable things that might have happened on the playground or out at the basketball courts, she wasn't, oh my word, that's terrible, you know, just making a judgment about it. Her answer to him was, what do you think about that? And I thought that was such a neat point, that he felt so comfortable that he could come to her with even hard things and she wasn't going to react, but she wanted to know, what are you thinking? What are you processing? And they would talk about it. And I think that's a great way of making sure that your children always feel comfortable that they can bring anything to you. If you don't believe it, lies are in the heart of an infant, and so we shouldn't be shocked when we start to see it happen. Do endeavor to live honestly yourselves. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Teach your child God's hatred for lying lips and deceitful hearts, and take action against lying as you would any other act of disobedience. So, like I said, the number of cars on your train is up to you. I mean, we didn't even talk about manners, hygiene, writing thank you cards. Think each one of these areas in each of these areas, what would that future person look like? You know, you may think it's really cute when they're three, but it may not be really cute when they're 13. So you have to be thinking about that. And if you didn't notice, I mentioned Proverbs a lot. And the book of Proverbs is filled with a lot of practical guidance for raising your children. I have highlighted in orange all of the parent take notice verses in Proverbs. There's 31 books or 31 chapters in the book. You can read a chapter every day and work through it with your children. There is lots of good practical advice in there. There's so much that our children learn from the world, their friends, and other outside sources. But thinking ahead about what you want your adult child to know, what kind of character do you want them to have? Set the foundation well in your home. Home is a place where habits are formed, and home is a place where the foundation of character is laid. I charge you solemnly before God to train up your children the way they should go. I charge you not merely for the sake of your children's soul. I encourage you for the sake of your own comfort and peace, truly your own happiness. Now, we know that our worth doesn't come from how our children are, and that our identity in Christ is in Christ, and that children are a gift from the Lord, and blessed is the man who has his quiver full. And they are the greatest source of joy, and they have caused the saddest tears that mothers have ever shed. Adam can tell you this, Jacob could tell you this, and David could tell you this. Truly, you are standing on the track and watching that train go away from you, and you will want to know that you have, as much as it depended on you, equipped your children for godliness, to be salt and light in the world, to be productive, upstanding people in this world. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us your word. And your word talks about every subject under the sun. We thank you for the wisdom that is there for us if we will only glean from it. Father, I pray that you will equip these moms with forward-thinking minds, that they will stay one stage ahead of their children and talk with their husbands and decide what kind of things that they want to teach their children, what kind of children that they would hope to have, that they would be prayerful in their approach to training up their children in the way they should go. Father, we thank you that you tell us that when we lack wisdom, that you will give it in abundance. So, Father, I pray that each of them will seek your wisdom and your guidance as they continue to raise up these beautiful children to be adults who love you and who will be wonderful, productive people in society, who will stand out in the world as someone very different. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.